This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Dressing up on Free FM, RFM, and MP. As always, I'm Gradian, live on Discord. We got Josh.
Hey!
WrestleMania 42. No time to mess around. 13 matches to get through over two nights. Just kicking straight in. Six-man tag team match. The Usos teamed up with LA Knight to take on The Vision and Isho Speed. Not quite the match we thought The Vision might be involved in, but a fun little kickoff.
And I would say it was the outcome we expected for the most part. I don't think we saw The Vision winning at all.
No.
But I will say, I was highly impressed by the stuff that Isho Speed did during the match.
Yeah, I think I'd seen some clips of him training with Randy Orton and a few other clips, and I was hopeful for what he could bring. It was probably one of my, you know, in a WrestleMania that had a chunk of celebrity involvement in it. I didn't hate the Isho Speed stuff. He came out, had a couple cool moments. You know, the moment of him splashing Logan on the announce table is going to be clipped and shared. I spoke beforehand about how I love that he was doing stuff on his stream. He was selling the whole thing. This continued through. People might say, you know, the match was too short, or maybe there was some talent in there that they feel was wasted, but I think it was perfect for what it was, which was a kickoff match, gets everybody happy, and yeah, I was happy with what we got.
Yeah, and honestly, they probably could still continue The Vision stuff if they want to. It's not that big of a deal of having Paul and Theory lose here. I would have no problem seeing Isho Speed in a singles match at maybe SummerSlam. I'm kind of down for it now.
Yeah, I'd be happy with it. But if this was the happy kickoff to WrestleMania, the tone changed quickly as it was Drew McIntyre and Jacob Fatu. It was unsanctioned, and they were going to tear each other apart.
Huge moment for Jacob Fatu. I don't know what to say. This was the star-making moment we asked for Jacob. Because we said multiple times during our preview that Drew winning did nothing, but Jacob Fatu winning here did everything. And that's exactly what they did, and that's exactly what needed to happen.
Yeah, I think, like, on paper, if you just looked at the results from WrestleMania 42, there's really only one result that I was less than pleased with. Otherwise, I think the right people won the matches. If you want to know more about that match, I guess listen to our preview and copy paste those statements, but in the past tense instead of the future tense, really. The women's tag team championships were on the line. Irresistible Forces coming in as champion, going up against Flair and Bliss, Bayley and Lyra, and what was meant to be the Bella Twins, but unfortunately Nikki couldn't recover from her injury in time, and instead we got Paige.
I will say, for the most part, being surprised by Paige's return. It was boiled just a little bit before the event, but because I had no clue she was even available. Did you?
I'd noticed that she had disappeared from AEW, but I don't pay a lot of attention to contract statuses.
Yeah. I just assumed she was like Jericho, and that she was still contracted, just hadn't appeared until all the rumors and stuff started coming about Jericho coming to WWE, and then suddenly he appeared again. But yeah, there was not a word until we got that message about 3 hours before the event saying that that was probably what was going to happen.
Yeah, I definitely prefer this to the Kabuki Warriors Switch. Page is, you know, one of my favorites from back in the day.
Yeah. And I will say this. I loved the outfits that all the ladies had.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Lash Legend and Nia Jax paying homage to Demolition in their outfit. And Alexa Bliss's outfit for honoring Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
But these ladies brought it for the eight and a half minutes, they brought it. And I'm fine with Brie and Paige as champions. We'll have to figure out exactly what we're going to do with that as far as Nikki is concerned, once Nikki is healthy. But I have no problem with it.
Yeah. I'm going to give my like entrance gear of the night award to Alexa Bliss. I did like the contrast with Charlotte as well, with the moth and the butterfly. But something about Alexa's just made me go, whoa. And yeah, in terms of who's the champions, I was predicting Bella Twins coming out of the match with the titles anyway. So this way you obviously have a built-in feud to do Nikki versus Paige down the line. Whether they hold on the titles until then, and Nikki sort of recovers and goes like, hey, you gonna just give me the title? Because, you know, it was meant to be me. I guess it all depends on how long Nikki is going to be on the shelf for, but we'll see how it goes. For now, interested. Sticking with the women's Intercontinental Championship match up next, Becky Lynch, AJ Lee. It was a one-on-one rematch, and it looks like AJ Lee might head into the sunset.
Yeah, it is what it is. Unfortunately, that means Becky Lynch is a three-time champion. But it did involve Jessica Carr, so we did get some continuation of that potential feud. It would be nuts if they switched the title to Jessica Carr. But honestly, I wouldn't have a problem with it, just because I think it would be funny. Jessica Carr is a trained wrestler. Who just happens to be mostly refereeing, but is a trained wrestler. And if they wanted to move her into being a full-time talent as a wrestler, having her wrestle Becky Lynch and actually winning a title wouldn't be that big of a deal to me.
Yeah, I do love a ref with a gimmick, you know? Jessica Carr been wrestling, I believe it's Calyx, if that's how it's pronounced, on Evolve, under a mask. Could definitely pull something off here if, you know, sort of showed up and started attacking Becky and then still reffing her matches, not under the mask. There's meat on that bone. Now that the AJ Lee stuff is done, I think AJ had a quick little short run. I hope she enjoyed it. I wish that we'd interacted with a few more people rather than just having a whole lot of matches with Becky and War Games. But if this is all we got, really the only negative out of it, as you say, is Becky being a three-time champ. Otherwise, it's fine. Not much more to say about it. I kind of want the Women's Intercontinental title to get out of this vortex that it's been in. And so, screw it. Put Jessica Carr in. Why not? Book it. Let's go. Next up, the second longest match of night one. Gunther, Seth Rollins, just head to head.
As expected, really good match. Gunther, I think Gunther is, obviously he's like one of the top guys. Seth, mm-hmm. been a top guy for 10 years. We expected them to do well together, and they didn't surprise us with that. They did well together. So, but Gunther winning here did lose a lot of steam on night two.
Yeah, I think specifically around this match, we knew it wasn't the first choice of anyone's match, right? There was rumors abound of a Gunther Rey, a Seth Rollins Bron Breakker, but for being, you know, just two top talents, two great talents putting together and say, you know, go have a good match, they did well. the return of Bron Breakker got me. I loved it. I think that it maybe complicates it if Gunther is going to try and finagle himself a match at SummerSlam that we talked about last week, but hey, it means that Seth versus Bron is on the event horizon.
Yeah, and you said it got you, but it didn't. It shouldn't have, because I told you that it would likely happen last week.
I heard you say it. I still didn't believe it until it happened on my TV.
Yeah. I figured it was probably a case where he was cleared enough that he could do, like, the spear, but he hadn't been cleared enough to be actually fully wrestle, or at least not to be able to, like, knock the rust off before the match. Mm-hmm. So I figured he would be involved. It was kind of like when I called Seth Rollins cashing in on his briefcase when he was injured. And because it just seemed like it was going to happen, even though everybody was saying he was too injured to be able to do that. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that we get to move on from this match to getting what we actually should have gotten. We'll probably get it at Clash.
Yeah. And Women's World Championship, Stephanie Vaquer coming in as champion, Liv Morgan, her opponent, and new champ.
Not a surprise. Though I was really hoping for maybe something along the lines of Liv being screwed out of the match by her Judgment Day brethren, but no. We just got the completion of the revenge tour. Which, for no reason, a reason that it was the revenge on Stephanie for no reason, apparently, because she had nothing to do with Liv being injured.
Yeah, this one's probably my, like, dud of the night, and it's not because of either of the women. It was, less than 7 minutes. It was paint by numbers. It felt like a Raw match, I guess, or a weekly show match is probably my best way to put it. It ends the Stephanie Vaquer reign. It puts it on Liv Morgan. We didn't really propel the story forward, as you say, the Judgment Day seemingly still on Liv's side. Maybe we'll get more out of it on Raw. Our recording time for this show, we haven't been able to see Raw yet, so we don't know for sure if they're going to continue it there, maybe. But yeah, this one, it was a match for sure.
Yeah, the best way that they can salvage this is that on Raw tonight, we're recording this before it airs, they have Raquel or Roxanne, Roxanne attack Liv while she's celebrating with the championship, kicking that off.
Fingers crossed, but let's talk WWE Championship, last match of night one, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton. Longest match of the night, Cody comes away with the win, Randy stands tall, though, at the end.
You know what? I don't really have a big problem with this. I know this is the match that you were alluding to earlier about not liking the outcome. And, yeah, I mean, I would rather have had Randy win, but I think ultimately, this actually accomplished what they were looking for, and I think Randy wins it at Backlash. But it got Randy heel heat. And
that's still so debatable to me, right? Because there was still heaps of times he was getting cheered.
Yeah. But him pulling out the butt kick, which is something he doesn't do unless he's heel. I'm fine with it being like Pat send off, if that's the end of we ever see him as a wrestler in WWE. I'm fine with that too. It is what it is, but I think they used to have a good match, and I think if Cody is healthy, they run it back to Backlash, and I think that's when Randy wins his 15th.
Yeah, I do think it's run back. Randy
wins whatever they decide for that title match, but
yeah. Gotta go to Randy sooner or later, right? That's the how I'll forgive this ending. I don't have long. I know we're short on time. Just everybody's sort of alignments in this match. We were booing Cody's entrance other than the wall part. We were cheering Randy the whole match. RKOs Pat with cheering him. He punt kicks. We cheer because we haven't seen the punt kick in ages. Really, a few boos towards the end. I don't know if that was piped in. But I don't know. It seems like Randy Orton is hot at the moment. He'll face cheer whatever he's getting a reaction. And I think it's just time to put the title on him, let him run for number 15 and see what we get out of him. It doesn't have to be supremely long, but, you know, Cody Rhodes has had enough time with it. Biff it on to Randy Orton. But we're going to go into our entrance theme this week. It is Oberfemi's theme, which will become extremely apparent why as soon as we come back from the song. Up on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh, and it was because Oberfemi defeated Brock Lesnar.
He didn't defeat Brock Lesnar. He downright destroyed Brock Lesnar. He treated Brock Lesnar the way Brock Lesnar treated John Cena at that SummerSlam match. I can't say much more. This was Oba's coming out party. He's a huge star now. And then Brock Lesnar seemed to retire the match by leaving his ring stuff in the ring.
Yeah, I think I got a few thoughts around it. I think, as you say, Oberfemi is on the rocket ship. I likened it to Brock Lesnar's 2002 run, where I think there's a high likelihood that Ober does win King of the Ring, head to SummerSlam, pick up a title if we are fully strapping him and just go into the stratosphere. Either way, everybody knows Ober. He was over as Rover. We were all strutting, cheering, singing along. The Brock Lesnar retirement, I kept expecting something to happen, be it Gunther showing up, Paul Heyman turning on him, something, but maybe we save that for Raw. Maybe we save that down the line. If this is it,
yeah.
Nice way to go out on your back, putting over the next big thing.
Yeah. Supposedly, Brock surprised everybody by doing that. Apparently, that was not something scripted. So, yeah, he may have just decided right then and there, I'm putting over, and I'm putting him over in the most dominant way I possibly can, and then I'm going back to Minnesota to be a farm boy, and I'm never coming back.
Only time will tell. And that leads us into the six-pack ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. It was Penta, Javon Evans, Dragon Lee, JD McDonagh, Rusev, and Rey Mysterio.
Nuts. Simply put, it was a nuts match. And I said I have no problem. Penta retains. I have no problem with it.
100%. I think I predicted Javon. I would have been happy with Javon. I'm not mad that Penta won. It was as you say, nuts, banger, whatever you want to call it. Outside of the main event, it was my favorite of the night. There are favorites in different ways. main event story, this one just non-stop action. And then we do United States Championship. It was Trick Williams, it was Sami Zayn. Sami getting booed from the outset. They seem to be playing into the Sami taking Carmelo's spot at WrestleMania means the fans hate him. Commentators reiterated that during his entrance as we're all booing Sami. And ultimately, the end goal, Trick Williams holding that US title above his head.
Yeah. We knew. We knew Sami was a transitional champion. Even if Trick did touch the title that he wasn't supposed to touch before it was his 3 days beforehand,
I was a little worried.
I had no wish. I didn't, because it made too much sense. This would have been like, had they decided Brock was going over Oba, and they had Oba take 16 suplexes. That wouldn't have made any sense. Trick losing here didn't make any sense. So yeah, hopefully it does spin Sami off in a way that maybe develops his character, and we eventually get Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes. Maybe an entire summer of it.
Yeah, I think Sammy's getting crazy. Sammy's getting desperate, but we've been saying that for a couple of years. Let's see where it goes. As you say, Trick William, Carmelo Hayes, that's my money match. Give it to me, SummerSlam, wherever you need to give it to me. Don't rush it. Let it cook. Let it cook, and I'll be happy when I get it. The Demon, Dominic Mysterio, switched into a street fight. Ultimately, though, Bella comes out on top.
Again, I think this was what it needed to be. It was the outcome that it needed to be. Very few people have ever beaten the demon version of Finn Balor, and it needed to stay that way.
Yeah, I think this is possibly one, because Backlash is a lot of running it back. I think this is one we could run back at Backlash. We saw Dominic already on Raw being like, hey, I signed a contract to face Finn Balor. I didn't sign a contract to face the Demon. Maybe you run it back and you do regular Bella versus Dominic. I don't know. But as soon as they said it was the Demon coming out at WrestleMania, this one was a foregone conclusion. WWE Women's Championship, Jade Cargill coming in as champion, going up against Rhea Ripley. You never bet against people whose initials are RRR.
It was fine. It was fine. I wish they had done more with Jade as champion, but we broke glass and emergency put the title back on Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I think for me, the disappointment wasn't like this match or anything. It was that Jade Cargill just didn't do a whole lot in her reign, didn't defend it a lot, didn't build stories with other people. It felt like we were in a holding pattern, waiting for Bianca Belair, who, side note, congratulations, Bianca Belair and Montez Ford on the pregnancy. And as soon as we knew we weren't getting that, it was like, all right, let's take the belt off Jade and go see what other stories we can tell with this, which is more down to the booking team than anything. Rhea Ripley is basically the female Roman Reigns. You don't bet against them. They're always going to be near a championship. And most of the time, I like the matches that they put on. Do I think I would have preferred Ripley Sky continue as a tag team? Yeah, but we don't always get what we want. And that leads us into that main event, the World Heavyweight Championship on the line, CM Punk, Roman Reigns, on a weekend where most matches were 18 minutes or shorter. It turns out it was just because Punk and Reigns were being Kirby, sucking up all of that time because they wanted to put on a 35-minute banger.
Yep. Roman, you can say a lot of things about him, the way he was pushed early on. Since 2020, since he came back, he has put on banger after banger after banger after banger. And he has proven he deserves his title as the man. He by all means, he is the best in the world because he makes people care about him regardless of what his alignment is. And when he faces somebody, he makes people believe that person can beat them too. How many times have we cheered for Sami Zayn in the match that we knew he wasn't going to win? But how many times did we think, it might happen.
Yeah, Roman Reigns is the undisputed GOAT of the 2.9 kickout for sure. You really believe that he's dead and he's down, and then no.
Yep. I think Punk had a fantastic run as World Heavyweight Champion. I think we're going to, I think there's still some juice left in the character, maybe as a heel down the road. It's questions where there's a lot more questions about where he's going after this, because we really don't know as far as how much longer he's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that he'll have a brief heel turn run, because honestly, Punk's the best when he's a slime ball.
100%.
And Roman at this point is just a tweener that's going to be able to face anybody that he wants to for the World Heavyweight Championship. I really hope, and I know there was some chirping between Obafemi and Roman Reigns on X. I kind of hope that's the SummerSlam match.
100%.
And that we don't see that beforehand, because if we see that before SummerSlam, it could destroy Oba. Because yeah. I don't think Roman's losing this title before SummerSlam.
How I do it, what I want a 6-month build. As you say, it was on the post show as well. And Oba's like, hey, I want you, Roman. And Roman's like, you've been here a minute. You're nothing. Go build yourself. And it feels like, you know, we have Oba come out on Raw. He destroys someone. And he's like, am I big enough for you now? No. Next pay-per-view, destroys someone. Am I big enough for you now? Yeah. Gets into King of the Ring, just dominates the tournament, takes somebody big out in the finals, and it's like, well, whether I'm big enough or not, I'm going for you at SummerSlam. I got that title shot. And just build Obafemi up over the next 6 months so that when he does destroy Roman Reigns, we all love it.
Yeah. The parallels that you mentioned earlier with Brock's opening year would perfectly work with Oba, because who did Brock beat to become the WWE champion the first time he won it?
The Rock.
Who is Rock's cousin? Roman. So Oba,
it does work.
Oba winning the King of the Ring and then beating Roman Reigns for the World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam, which was the event that Brock won it at, would be parallel perfect.
Love it. Book it. But we are out of time. It's been great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUpper, twitterpage.com/WrestlingRNDUpper, our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp, and we will see you next week. The prize right in front of my eyes, the taking up, sky's the limit, got no time to waste. Tonight's the big goal, strike quick but creep slow, the competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from 3, go, press X to reload, deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning, we're fearless and crowd stunning. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.